This is Dino Herbert, and welcome to the Dino Herbert Show, Everyday Hero. Today's Everyday Hero is a lady by the name of Sharon Hill of Sharon Hill International. Sharon is on a quest to revive etiquette and save the world from rude behavior, one handshake at a time. Combining her passion for business etiquette, diversity in the workplace, and her MBA research on organizational behavior, Sharon is recognized as an authority on American business etiquette for companies, groups, and individuals. Let's listen into our conversation.
Tell me a little bit about Sharon Hill International and what your company does.
All right. Sharon Hill International focuses on business etiquette. I'm certified to train in 30 different areas of etiquette from the American Business Etiquette Trainers Association. However, I also am a keynote speaker in terms of diversity and etiquette, women's issues, and just pumping up your professionalism to always be your personal best.
Excellent, excellent. That's good. And I understand you do some corporate training and you do some workshops. Tell us a little bit about those.
Yes, I've been contracted by corporations, by universities, locally, Duke University, University of North Carolina, NC State, and also speak to associations around the country. Matter of fact, universities around the country, the students in particular are really enthralled with dining etiquette and how to interview for a job, do's and don'ts, things like that. So I'm speaking all over the place on varied subjects that are germane to whatever pain that organization or school is trying to solve.
So you're traveling all over the place, spreading the word of etiquette, and that's wonderful.
Yes.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about how you got started? I know that in today's economy, a lot of people are a little unsettled. Mm-hmm. There have been, I think, over 500,000 jobs lost in the U.S. over the last month and a half, 2 months alone. And I know some people are feeling a little unsettled, and perhaps some people feel that, you know, my job is safe, I'm working for a big company, and maybe things will be okay. But I understand your background, you had a little bit of a mishap yourself. Why don't you tell me a little bit about that?
Yes, gladly. And I'm a big believer in every curse has a blessing. So just because something bad happens doesn't mean it's the end of your world. If you're prepared for it, and if you're not prepared for it, looking for what does this mean, where can I go? My history is one of corporate America with IBM for over 20 years. I still love the company. They were very good to me. And it was a shock when I was told by my manager that as a top employee, top manager, I had 30 days to find a new job, as did all of my 50 employees. We kind of saw it coming. This was back in 2003 when layoffs were really becoming the way to go and companies were shipping all their business offshore. Well, I was in the marketing arena, so you can imagine when they hit me with 30 days, I had to find jobs or work with my team to make sure they were all okay. For me, you know, I kind of thought this is a blessing. Now I can do something else. I spent all these years giving to the corporation. What do I really want to do? So for me, this was a blessing because a few years earlier in 1999, IBM had honored me by sending me to an executive women's conference in California, one with all the pampering with massages and balloon rides and golf and horseback riding and speakers. Well, by fate, I decided to spend 90 minutes going through the business etiquette seminar, thinking I wouldn't need it, but I would just kill time. Mm-hmm. I walked in so high and mighty, and I walked out so humble at all the things that I had either A, been doing wrong, or B, didn't even know it was an etiquette point. Well, when I got back to North Carolina, it occurred to me that in my role as a chairman of the Black Diversity Network group of IBM at RTP Raleigh, if I'm to be a role model for all of those employees, and there were thousands, I had to share what I just learned. So what I'm trying to say at this point is, little did I know, this was the building block for when I got that notice that I had 30 days to find a new job. Because after I put together my etiquette training session, other departments within IBM and across the corporation were calling me to continue training etiquette, just basic etiquette skills that I had learned. Well, when the axe came down in 2003 for the 30 days, I tell everybody, first of all, take 3 months to decompress, especially if you've been in corporate America for a long time. Yes, that's when I decided to pull my etiquette team together, and that's how it got started. So from the very beginning, I knew I was going to be training on etiquette. along with my side passion, Texas Hold'em Poker, which I have another business, totally unrelated. But I find that when the door closes, work your passions. So it doesn't even feel like you're working. The money is not going to be as much as it was in corporate America. I'll say that from the beginning. But I'm so happy, as are so many of my other friends who found they could work with their passions, that suddenly money takes on a lesser meaning.
I understand. So you knew right away, because of your experience out on the West Coast, that you wanted to do something on your own. Do you know why you didn't decide to just kind of find another job? You had plenty of experience. Your resume, I'm sure, was wonderful, and you probably could have found another job in corporate America. What do you think it was that led you down the entrepreneurial path?
I believe that in my soul, I said, it's time to do something else. Because sometimes when you're in a job in which you have to stay, you believe you have to stay in that job because the money has you spoiled, your reputation has you spoiled, because I was known internationally, you get kind of carried away with yourself as far as thinking, this is where I belong. Well, when I got the Act saying 30 days, it was a rude awakening. Actually, it was a bright awakening saying, maybe I'm not all that. What do I really, really want to do that makes me happy? So even though starting all over again in terms of what do I want to do now going to corporate America, I was tired of the political games in corporate America. I was tired of managers who didn't have a clue. I know this sounds negative, but I was tired of following goals and incentives that the corporation laid out that I might not have agreed with. I'm not saying it was 100% that way, but sometimes you have to dance with the one that brought you, and if this is what everybody's saying you have to do in terms of the incentives for the corporation, you have to do them, even if it goes against your grain. I was tired of that and ready to go ahead and start it on my own.
I completely understand that. When I started on my own, the company I was with was a large international company as well, and I begin to feel like a number, basically, because after you start working for a public company, the company begins to take on a life of its own, and it becomes a machine in a lots of ways, and
Absolutely.
It kind of loses that personal touch. So I completely understand what you're talking about there. Well, I know we weren't, I didn't realize this, and we weren't necessarily planning to talk about it, but since you are I'll call you a serial entrepreneur at this point, tell me a little bit about the Texas Hold'em Poker and what you've got going on there.
In 1992, my husband and I were in Las Vegas, where we go at least four or five times a year, and we saw an offering at the MGM Grand that said free poker lessons. Well, I think everybody to some extent grows up playing poker. You see it on television and the Westerns and everything. That's usually five-card draw. But they were talking about stud, seven-card stud, and Texas Hold'em. And this is before Texas Hold'em got to be so popular, Dino. So we took the lessons for about 2 hours, and as time went on, we found ourselves leaving blackjack and playing poker more. Well, then when poker became the game with all the television coverage and everybody's trying to learn how to learn the game, to play the game, I noticed that a lot of my friends and a lot of people in Las Vegas didn't have a clue as to how to get started playing the game. How do you walk into a casino? How do you get the seat? How much should you start with? What's some basic strategy? So what I did was, first of all, wrote a book on Texas Hold'em. I think it's called The Wild Woman's Guide to Texas Hold'em, The Basics.
Okay.
And then I opened up my company, PokerDiva.com, and started telling, advertising that I could train you on poker. My big break came, I'll leave out all the gory details, when Black Enterprise Magazine contacted me to train executive women in Phoenix, Arizona for one of its executive women's summits. Well, so I flew down to Arizona and opened it up. My husband's one of my dealers. I have three or four other dealers. And I would say in the scheme of things, if my etiquette is 90% of my business, poker is the remainder. So it's a small portion, but I enjoy it so much. Plus, when I'm playing, I'm not losing money. Excuse me, when I'm teaching, I'm not losing money. That makes it good, too.
Which is always
a passion.
That way, it's still fun. That's wonderful. Now, you mentioned that particular book. I didn't realize you had written that book. I know you've written at least three other books. One about students succeeding in corporate America and 24 tips for students to Succeed in College, as well as The Wild Woman's Guide to Etiquette. Why don't you tell us a little bit about those particular books, Sharon?
Sure, gladly. You know, the first book was The Wild Woman's Guide to Etiquette. One of the things I learned as a speaker is whenever you have a book, you're considered to be an authority, considered an expert. So
yes.
I wrote my book just to be able to get my foot in the door with universities. These are some of the seminars I've gone to and learned to do this. So I put that book together as a basic to get people started. And also, when some of my clients couldn't pay me, they would buy my book out of a different bucket of money and be able to buy my books to give to the attendees at some of my etiquette sessions. So that book is the basics of etiquette. I'm writing another book right now in which I'm going to go into things over and beyond what was in the first book. But that book really focuses on the basics of etiquette, dining etiquette, how to introduce people, all the way down to where you're supposed to wear your name badge properly if people do that wrong. Because my contention is you're always being watched. Therefore, people who have the correct etiquette skills and etiquette training, which seems so lax after the 1980s, it's making a comeback now. So I was in the right niche to go ahead and start teaching etiquette. And that book is my intro into a lot of my gigs and a lot of my speaking engagements.
Okay.
As far as the school for the student books, I was going to write a book. The thesis that I did for my MBA while I was still working at IBM was, as the head of the Black Diversity Network group at RTP Raleigh, I noticed whenever the layoffs came through, in my opinion, it seemed as if a large percentage of the blacks were being laid off. And I called legal, but of course they wouldn't give me any numbers, but people started coming to me, Dino, when it was too late for me to do anything. I didn't know them. They hadn't come to meetings. Some of them avoided the Black Diversity Network group because they didn't want to look, radical.
Right.
So it was strange how when the layoffs came through, suddenly I was everybody's best friend. Sharon, can you help me? Sharon, can you help me?
Right,
so I did some research for my MBA as to why does it seem, by the way, I was wrong on that. When I called the Asian group, the Hispanic group, and the women's group, the numbers seemed to be consistent across the board as far as those layoffs. So I had a very myopic view of that problem. So I decided to put a book together to tell students how to succeed in corporate America, based on the research that I did and based on my own personal experiences with IBM, which I'd been for so many years. Well, some of my friends who are PhD doctors at universities, North Carolina A&T as one, would say, Sharon, before you put that book out, you've got to tell students how to succeed in college, because a lot of them are dropping out of college because they don't know what to do to even get to corporate America.
Mm-hmm.
So I split that book into just corporate America for a second, and then getting through college as the first book, 24 Tips. And I wrote it in a style, you know, that's very almost comic book, so people will read, because people just don't want to read anymore.
Exactly.
So I wrote it so you can take it into the washroom and read a page a day.
Wonderful.
Yes.
We'll have to
those books have been used by
it.
Many schools. Thank you.
Wonderful. Yes, indeed. So shifting gears a little bit back to the etiquette portion of your business, since that's a large portion of your business. Now, I've been on your website and I saw your introductory video where you were talking about some pointers with regard to business etiquette. Would you care to share kind of your top three or four etiquette faux pas that are happening in today's environment and people don't even realize they're doing it?
Ah, thank you. I say my top is small talk. Many people don't know how to sell themselves because they're afraid of stepping out of their comfort zone. So as etiquette/networking, one of my favorite topics is telling people how to step out of that comfort zone and how to meet people, how to introduce themselves to people, how to maintain small talk so they look professional and people get to like them, since it only takes 3 seconds to form an opinion of whether you like somebody or don't like somebody. That 3 seconds is so critical. So my Pump Up Your Professionalism session is one of my favorites as far as how to create small talk. My second is dining etiquette. A lot of debates. People are interviewing for jobs over a meal. And, for example, let's say a gentleman is eating soup. What does he do with his tie? I've seen students and adults throw the tie over their shoulder or tuck it into their shirt. No, no, no. So I teach them, what do you do with your tie? I love to also teach about business cards, especially at a meal, how if you're at a smaller table, less than 10 people, you're not supposed to pass your business cards around as if they're a deck of cards. Your business cards go from your hand Yes, to the other person's hand. It's a personal extension of you. So they're small tips, but they have such strong conveyance to your professionalism and your etiquette training. Those are, I would say, would be my top three, with dining etiquette being a huge topic that I just love to teach in all of its forms, because there's so many things people do wrong at the dining table.
So what should I do with my tie when I'm eating food?
Good question. If you're right-handed, you take your left hand and you slide it down your tie, and you hold your tie at the bottom on your lap while you use your right hand. So if you're left-handed, you hold your tie in place on your lap with your right hand. So your tie stays out the whole time.
That's wonderful. Those are excellent, excellent tips.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate that, Sharon, so much.
Thank you.
This particular program that we're on today, the Everyday Hero Show, is for aspiring entrepreneurs or new entrepreneurs.
Mm-hmm.
And so since you've been operating Sharon Hill International,
mm-hmm.
are there some tips that you could pass along to entrepreneurs that are kind of your top 10 list, and you don't have to have 10, but your major
mm-hmm.
things that they should take into consideration as they're starting their businesses?
Yes.
And
yes.
What would you like to share with them?
I just heard it. If I knew them, that first tip to everyone is to get a book called the E, that's E like entrepreneur, the E Myth. And apologies,
yes.
I meant to have the author's name in front of me, and I don't. Maybe you've heard of it.
Yeah.
I'm going to say what I learned 2 weeks. Have you heard of the book, Dana?
I sure have.
That book is astounding because, as you know, all of us who want to say, well, I'm through with what I was doing. I'm going to start my own business. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. That book breaks it down into, at that point, we know what we want to do, whether it's raising flowers, being a restaurant, being an etiquette trainer, being a personal trainer. We know what we want to do. That makes us a technician. What we don't have and need is someone to manage us. In other words, we're going to go off, and I'll tell you the mistakes I made by not knowing about this book, is we just go off and think, well, I know what I want to do. I'm just going to go do it without all the details put in place to make sure you're successful. That's why many businesses fail and people have to go back into a workplace that they dread because their dream didn't come true. So my suggestion would be all potential entrepreneurs should get that book, The E-Myth.
Michael Gerber, I believe.
Next.
Thank you.
I strongly recommend that book. And I wish I'd known about it then. I could have saved a few $1,000 in the things I did wrong, which I'll list. Here's some of the things I did wrong getting started. I mentioned that I had done the etiquette seminars at IBM. I must have done at least 20 or 30 while I was still at IBM between 1999 and 2003. Actually, I probably did over 50, including my natural job. So I figured I knew what it took now to be an etiquette trainer. When I was on my own, I thought, well, I'll just go ahead and design my own logo. I'll come up with my own company name. I will make my own brochures. How hard could it be? And I did. The problem is, because I am not a designer, because I don't have the skill to know what a name that pops would really be like for a company, I had all these thousands of dollars spent on these materials, and I'd say my return on it, if I spent $5,000, I was lucky to get back $400.
Right.
I did not know what I was doing. Now, this is a chicken and egg kind of thing, because you have to make money in order to, you have to have money in order to make money, but if you don't have money, how do you make the money? So this is a tricky point I'm going to bring up right now. What I learned was, I should have had a brand manager. I should have had a business coach. And my next point is everyone should talk to at least 2 or 3 business coaches. Most offer a free 1-hour session. Find one where you feel the chemistry is the best and go with that person. Now, most coaches that I know of charge $150 an hour. See if you can bicker with them. The coach I have now, 1 hour a month. And I've had her since 2004, which is after I learned, my goodness, I need a coach. Somebody who can say, Sharon, what's your mission? Sharon, where's your business plan? Sharon, how much money do you plan to make next year? A lot? No, that's not the right answer. We have to put a target in place and then work towards that target. So that's why you have to have people to manage you and get you in place. But some people may say, and repeating myself, I don't have the money to pay for that coach right now. I don't have the money to pay for that brand manager. Just know at some point you've got to pull them in. The other mistake I made was I got a nice package out of IBM. That was a nice cushion for me. You know, a lot of times when you leave, I don't know if you got one when you left your corporation, but sometimes you get a package when they tap you to leave.
Right.
I saw that money as a bottomless pit of money that I could spend to get my business started. I did not control my spending. Okay, I'll buy this, I'll buy this, I'll get a huge picture of myself and frame it, I'll do this, I'll do this. I wasted a lot of money. That kind of goes along with having your business coach. Watch your spending. If you want your return on investment to pay back, you got to watch it.
Yes.
Yes, I read something. A big pile of money.
Yeah, I read something somewhere that there's a gentleman who wrote a book called Go Big or Go Home. And he's talking about starting a business, and he's saying that oftentimes people say, okay, if I have a whole bunch of money, then that'll help me start my business. And he's saying the same thing you're saying. Oftentimes when there's a big pile of money there, we as young entrepreneurs tend to waste it because we believe that that pile of money is going to be there for such a long time. So we overspend quite often.
And we also believe that big pile of money is going to get us started so we'll be super successful, and that money can sit and grow interest while I make money on the business. Well, as we all know, it takes about 2 years, based on what the business is, to get out of the red in your business.
Yeah.
So you're right that they go through that money. I went through my money thinking, well, I'm going to make so much money as an etiquette expert. Well, I had to spread all those seeds before the money started coming in. So that's a big message I want to give all potential entrepreneurs.
Excellent. So read the E-Myth, get a brand manager as soon as you can, get a business coach, don't overspend too soon, and know that it'll take you probably at least a couple years to get on your feet before the machine is well-oiled and you're really being productive at that point.
Absolutely. My next point, you know, for entrepreneurs is, especially if they aren't well known in their neighborhood or state or city or the country and want to be known, if they start locally, join the networking groups. There's nationwide, worldwide, there's BNI, Business Network International. Join that, in which you can talk about your mission, talk about who's a good contact, who's a good referral for you. And at BNI, all of the other BNI members are your sales force. So they can also go out and try to work for you, and you work for and with them. So that's a starting point. And what's been very popular now, of course, most people know about, is LinkedIn and Facebook and a lot of networking groups that focus on your industry, in which you can now tell your tale, tell your story, and talk to other people around the world who are in the same industry you're looking for and get tips and hints and tips from them as to what they succeed, where they failed. So you have a built-in coaching network along those lines with all the online networking social networks.
Before we kind of shift into closing mode, are there any horror stories? Earlier in the conversation, you were saying that you felt that every curse has a blessing, and you mentioned that when you were downsized, laid off at IBM. Is there a story you can tell us, since you've been an entrepreneur, that you can convey to my audience about every curse being a blessing?
I would say, if you're asking, have I had any curses since I've been an entrepreneur, or just a blessing since I've been an entrepreneur?
Well, a curse that you discovered became a blessing.
Yeah, the curse was being laid off, which for me wasn't a curse, but it was for a lot of my friends and my employees. The curse was having to say, my goodness, I'm not pulling in the big bucks anymore. I can't go out and just spend on clothes. I can't just update my car. I can't be frivolous anymore, because you get spoiled when you have all that money in corporate America. The curse was saying, I've got to tighten up, which is the curse, to some it's not a curse. The curse was not being spoiled and pampered anymore in terms of the financial status. I guess that's the big thing, losing the financial status. When I left IBM. But, you know, that was self-imposed. You know, I only felt that I had that financial status. The blessing was, even though I did not make as much money, and I still don't compared to what I made in IBM, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
And I'm well respected on a nationwide and international basis in terms of my website and people finding me. I have a whole new network of friends. I can also, like we're doing now, share my story with others. And now I sleep so well at night. I've lost weight because I'm not so worried about being laid off. Everything. And my husband the same way. It's just been a blessing.
Great.
The blessing is not having a boss, being your own boss.
Yes, yes, that is very nice. So as we wrap up here, Sharon, I appreciate you taking the time to talk to us today. Would you care
Thank
to
you.
Give one last promotion of your training or your books or whichever one you want to promote here before we leave?
Oh, well, thank you. I would like to have everyone visit my website, www.SharonHillInternational.com, all spelled out, Sharon Hill, Sharon Hill International.com, because on that site, it explains some of the history that I've discussed today. It gives a lot of testimonials from a slew of my clients who just have such wonderful things to say. My books are listed on my site so folks can buy them, as well as things I talk about during my etiquette training. For example, if a lady says, is it okay to pick a gentleman's coat if I'm in a restaurant and it's cold, I say, darling, you should have your own scarf. So on my website, you can contact me to get lovely, lovely pashmina scarves and business card holders. I tell people, I don't want to see you pull out a business card that has a rubber band around the whole stack of cards. That
right.
is not professional.
Yes, yes.
So on my site, I'm going to start selling business card cases. And as for, I have women now, but I'm going to add men to it, just so you can always look your personal best. That is my mission, to help people look their personal best.
Well, Sharon, this has been a great conversation. You are obviously enjoying what you're doing. You're full of energy and full of passion. And again, I thank you so much
thank
for
you.
Joining me. And the best to you and much success to you.
And I'm honored that we could have this call. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Dino.
Thank you so much for joining me on today's episode of the Dino Herbert Show, Everyday Hero. Why don't you drop me a line and let me know what you thought about today's episode. You can also find me at dinoherbert.com for other books, recordings, and to book me to speak at your next engagement. It's always a pleasure having you here. And remember, I am passionate about people who are pursuing their potential.